You're listening to Just Okay Gamers, where it's finally the episode you've been waiting for. Kobayashi is really going to join us this time.
We're just okay and we play some games. We're just okay gamers.
Hey, everybody.
Where is he?
He's going to be on later. He's driving here right now.
You sure about that?
He's going to your place this time?
Yeah, he's coming to my place. Right. He says that he's pre-gaming. I don't know what that means, if he just eats a bunch of hot dogs.
Yeah.
No, just the buns.
Just the buns.
Isn't that effectively like filling up on bread?
Yeah.
That's the opposite of what you should do. Faster.
See, that's the whole point.
Nobody fills up on bread before an eating contest.
Yeah, but bread doesn't stay with you. You can warm up that.
Bread doesn't stay with you?
No.
But he's not going to an eating contest. He's just going to Guido's house.
Yeah.
He's going to be on the podcast.
Let's be fair. Going to Guido's house is like an eating contest.
Yeah, because he's going to be eating my dick.
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to make him suck your dick?
He eats like 90-something of them in a minute, so.
He'd probably be pretty good at it.
Probably. He probably doesn't have a gag reflex either.
Why? Oh, no. Yeah, exactly. Mike just said, or Nasty just said it.
Why would he be good at it?
He doesn't have a gag reflex.
Oh.
But he isn't good at, like, practical jokes?
How else do you think he shoves all those hot dogs down in that short of a time? He just doesn't chew them.
Maybe he practices for the eating contest.
Oh, we can ask him when he gets here.
Yeah. Yeah.
On a real note, I heard that they eat a lot of salads.
They?
Yeah, like...
Asians?
What do you mean by them?
Here we go again.
You know them, the chaps.
I feel like I just got the Asians back on my side. Now you guys are throwing me under the bus again.
Well, in fairness, it's a different group of Asians.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, my name is Guido, and I'm here with...
Wally. Hi.
Hi, Wally. How's it going?
I have a funny story about Japanese.
Let's hear it after... Everyone introduces themselves
for 20 weeks. No, I'm not ready. But I'm not ready for Millpool yet.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of sick of introducing myself.
You have to introduce yourself.
You have to introduce yourself. I was being an obstructionist.
Hi, guys, I'm Millpool.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up, man?
How you doing?
Who is this?
You know, it's me.
It's me.
Yeah. He's like, hey, what's up?
That was what he was like.
That's equally descriptive.
You guys heard that?
That's what I said.
From a few seconds ago?
Yeah.
That's what I said.
I remember that.
Yeah,
oh,
I said that.
Man. This is like week one. we're good at what we do. So,
it's not 20. A Thursday. This is off.
We're on episode 20, and we're recording a little earlier this week, because I'm going to go boating and boozing.
Dynamite Sweet. Combination.
Yeah. Drink some boats and drive some booze.
You know what goes with it?
What?
Getting sunburnt like a lobster.
Getting sunburnt like a lobster.
What?
This is gold.
Gold, Jerry, gold.
So, how's everyone's weeks? I'm going on vacation. What are you guys doing?
It's Tuesday, so far, it's been great.
Good. Is anyone else going on vacation?
My wife is, not me.
Aw.
My wife.
Is she coming up to the river with me?
Yes.
I can't wait.
She's going to go see her in-laws.
The old in-laws. Wait, she's going to see your mama's in-laws?
I know, she's going to go see my in-laws. She's going to see her family.
She's
going to go see the in-laws. I'm sorry, I'm tired.
She's going to see my parents without me.
Which she could conceivably do, too. I could give a shit.
I think it's weird when people are super close with their in-laws, you know?
I get along with my in-laws pretty well, but I'm not super close.
You wouldn't just go over there without your wife? And,
no,
like,
I wouldn't like jump on the couch
them.
And like eat with them and stuff.
Yeah, I know people that
fuck
do
them.
That. Yeah, Just fucking
way to escalate.
That's what I thought you were talking about too.
Well, that's where it was headed. I think we all were thinking it.
That's where it was headed.
You gotta let the slow build go.
Watch a movie.
I don't know. I think jumping to "Would you fuck them?" is quite refreshing.
It is.
His courtship died.
His courtship? His courtship, sir. Wally of Vestibule. So, as you guys might be able to tell, we don't have much to talk about this week.
You know, I was just thinking, like, we should just play some music in the background so there's, like, no silence.
And help us out if we did, but... Oh, yeah. You know what we use to talk, guys? We use Mumble. That's right.
What?
Mumble. It's a nice program that lets you talk to your friends. But there's a catch. It's a big old catch. You gotta own a server. What? Or know someone that owns a server.
Server?
Most of these places out there, let me tell you, they're charging hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, I can imagine. Could you name a few of them? Places?
There's mumbleservers.com. There's Hey buddy, come get a server from mumble.net.
Yeah.
I know that one.
There's come on, try out this mumble stuff .org.
Right.
Do you want me to keep going?
No, I think that's good. You covered a majority of them.
They're all charging $400 for a 3-person server.
Yeah.
Insane.
We're charging $1 million.
Insane.
$100.
So look, if you want a Mumble server, I'll tell you where to go. You go to mumbleboxes.com.
You go straight to
straight to mumbleboxes.com. I'll tell you where to go. Straight to
Go there and check out the prices. Like a 10-person server, $3. I don't know. It's cheap. We have a 30-person server. It cost me $420. That's right, stoners. $420 a month.
Cheap like a whore in Mardi Gras.
$420 a month for a 30-person server. And you know what? Go to mumbleboxes.com, and when you sign up and check out, type in just okay, you're going to get 20% off.
Boom. You'll take advantage of this offer. You must be high.
Yeah. Goddamn stoners. So go sign up for one of those. Talk to your friends on Mumble. Get 20% off. Support our podcast by doing that. It's win-win-win-win-win-win-win. All right? Don't spend hundreds of dollars for a Mumble server. You idiot. Get one for cheap. Just okay at the checkout. All right.
All right.
And that's how you do a promo.
It was good.
Is that how you do a promo?
That was like the earliest promo in several weeks.
It has been.
Yeah. We always wait so long. Or I do. It's my job.
Yeah, you do. It's your only job.
I forget stuff.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, that's my only job.
What?
My only job.
What? What?
Guido, you're getting a little quiet.
Sorry. All right. League of Legends, huh?
Yeah.
There's a big LCS week coming up.
Super week. And then that leads right into playoffs.
I bet all the Dota players are like, oh, you know what? Their super week is coming up, and it's going to be super week.
But spelled the same way, so it's they're just stating the same thing twice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's weird.
That is weird.
So Cloud9 pretty much has first place locked.
They do.
Yeah, they do for sure.
They clinched it on the first game last week.
What is it, like 20 and 2 or something like that?
They're 29.
Something ridiculous.
21 and 2.
Yeah, that's crazy. So I've seen people pleading to them to do like crazy comps and stuff since they already have first place.
Yeah, so. I think that's going to be fun to watch because there's some teams that really don't care about, you know, this upcoming set of LCS going into the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting to see what they end up going with, whether they're going to stick with their standard or whether they're going to bust out something really crazy and you know, try and see what they can do with it.
Yeah, there's still other things on the line for them, though, like who they're going to play and whatnot, like who comes in the second seed and who they would want to come in to the playoffs and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So they're probably going to want to play their best against certain teams to knock them down a peg. I know TSM plays that. Well, I'm sure they all play each other throughout the week. There's so many games. But there's a few teams that need to get certain wins and need other teams to lose to try and cinch that second spot. So that's pretty much what everyone else is fighting for. Is there anyone you guys want to see go on?
I'd like to see Dig.
Yeah.
Dig's always a favorite of mine. You know, they've been around for a while. Cutie Pie is such a character to watch him play, and you can tell that he enjoys it so much, because when you're watching the stream, and whenever something goes down, you can always see him just laughing or smiling about something. You know, not a lot of the players are really like that.
Yeah, it'd be cool to see Dig. I don't know. It's just Cloud9's on such their next level, you know. Does it really matter? Everybody, you know, from NA is probably going to be watching Cloud9 because they're going to make it to Worlds, and they're probably going to be our hope to win Worlds.
Yeah, I agree. It's just that they're doing something different than what everybody else has been doing recently. You know, they're going more for the team gold, which Riot tried busting down with this last patch. So it's going to be interesting to see what actually happens with that. I don't know. I haven't read if the playoffs are going to be played on 3-9 or if they're going to be pushed to 3-10.
Yeah, I don't know. So, I don't know. LCS stuff. Does anyone else have anything to talk about?
The thing with the weird comp, we saw some of that last split with Curse. I think they pulled some weird comps out at the end, their past couple games, or their last couple games. And people are kind of, I don't know, some people liked it, some people got upset, because it was like, when it went against, you know, like sportsmanship and everything.
Yeah, I still think, I don't know, I'm kind of up in the air. It'd be fun to see them do other stuff, but then again, it's kind of a blow to the other teams if you're just fucking around, especially if you beat them, you know?
Yeah.
But who cares? I mean, you're in that top spot for a reason, so if you can beat them with some sort of cheese strat or comp or odd picks or swapping roles or whatever, then more power to them, I guess. I don't think that's bad sportsmanship.
I'm going to be looking forward to how Cloud9 does against teams outside of NA, because the strategy's really changed. And I think that was something that took a lot of people by surprise last year when Worlds came around, was how poorly NA did against all of the Asian teams.
And it's only the last two teams who don't make it into the playoffs.
Right.
So, like, pretty much.
But then
6 out of 8 teams are going to make it.
But then after the playoffs, there's like a really short tournament where the top 3 teams go, right?
What do you mean?
To Worlds? How do teams get picked for Worlds? Because it's only the top 3 teams.
But that's what the playoffs are for.
Yeah. Yeah, the playoffs go for like quite a while.
I have absolutely no idea.
Playoffs are on from like...
They're on until October, I believe.
Yeah, well, the final is October 4th. And they start...
What?
They start either on September 15th or the 25th.
Yeah, so it's like 2 or 3 weeks leading up to the final.
Oh, so they're going to have a nice few weeks off here.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, and they got this weekend off, too, because of Super Week, because I always take the weekend before Super Week off.
So the winners of this week win, or this split win what? What do they win?
A new car!
Oh, man.
No.
What do you mean?
Like, what do they win?
If they succeed, if they, what is the result?
If they get the top spot, what do they win the split?
The top two spots, I believe, get a bye in the first round of the playoffs.
Okay.
What else? I think that's maybe it.
$4,000?
What's that?
$4,000?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, that's probably it.
Well, teams make money in the playoffs, depending on where they finish.
Right.
Yeah, because for the spring playoffs, TSM won $50,000 for being first place.
Okay, so first place will probably win another $50,000.
Yeah, it's looking like first place. It's going to run the same as it did for the spring playoffs. First place, 50, second with 25, third with 15, and fourth with 10.
Does this beginning of the split, does it really need to be this long? Do you think?
What do you mean?
The season?
Yeah. Well, this split, this summer split. It was how many weeks? Probably like
9 weeks.
9 weeks?
Yeah, it wasn't.
Holy shit.
Into the 9th week. I mean, it's 10 weeks in total, and the 10th week is super week.
It seems to add up to me in my head.
Do you think that many games is necessary?
Well, that's how long spring was.
I know, but just overall, do you think it's necessary to have that many games?
I don't know. Probably not. It's pretty weird, like, just that there's only 8 teams and 6 of them make it into the playoffs.
Right.
Like, it probably doesn't need to be that long. But then, like, you know, what else are you going to do?
I mean, maybe if it was closer between, I mean, it is for everybody else but Cloud9 and Velocity.
Yeah, it's actually really close, 2nd through 7.
Right. But I don't know. It's just like play all these games and then 6 people and then 2 teams are knocked out right away. And then they just play another bunch of games for the top spot.
There's a lot of games. I'm just looking at the playoffs, the schedule now. It starts on September 15th. And there's like 7 games per day up until the 21st.
Jeez.
And then they get to quarterfinals after that.
But
yeah, it was weird. Like last year, if you guys remember, GGU, who's Coast now, I think they won the playoffs, but they were not a high-seeded team going into the playoffs. They were actually...
No, TSM won the playoffs. GGU came in second.
Oh, did they? Right, they came in second.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that just, you know, speaks to your point, like if the regular season really matters, but
anything... that also was because of the summer split qualifier that they had as well.
Right.
What do you mean?
Well, the leading into the summer split, they had the summer qualifier before that, between the spring and summer.
Yeah.
So based on how you did during that also gave you your ranking going into the summer half of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're just coming up to the summer playoffs.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying coming into this like half, this split.
It didn't affect anything other than like which teams made it. Either they got relegated from the LCS or they were qualifying to get into the LCS.
Yeah, there's no seeds in this split. It's just a tournament bracket, or it's just a bracket. I don't even think it is a bracket. It's point-based, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like best of 3 or best of 5.
Yeah, so it's bracketed.
So next, these playoffs, Cloud9 can go in and lose the first 5 games, and that's pretty much it. They won't go to Worlds or whatever, however many games they got to play. But there's a chance that this huge fucking win streak that they have is just going to be from nothing. Although I don't think that's going to happen because they're probably going to win anyway. But
yeah.
I don't know. I guess I just don't see the point.
Well, it's exposure. I mean, yeah, there's that. And, you know, it gives teams a chance to play each other a lot and for kind of teams to rise and fall, I guess.
I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to make it more like the Asian scene. You know, there's playoffs constantly going on, and there's constantly tournaments going on over there. And maybe Riot just saw it as there might not have been as much of an opportunity here in the NA and in the EU because gaming isn't as large as it is over there. So they, in order to make it more of an even playing field going into Worlds and not have such a landslide like they did last year,
they were trying something different out.
That makes sense, actually. I mean, it preps them for, I guess, the greater difference in challenge or timing or training.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can sit there and you can scrim people and you can play in small, you know, distance-based tournaments where all you do is log in. But it's not the same as actually going somewhere and being all in the same room and having the anxiety leading up to the actual match itself.
Yeah, I suppose you got to try stuff and hammer it out. I don't know. I just think there's probably a better way to do it.
I think, like, for me, the argument is it basically comes down to that there's so few teams competing and most of them make it into the playoffs. Like, you know, 6 out of 8 make it into the playoffs. If there were more teams, if there was 12 teams, right, for example, and only six of them made it into the playoffs, then the season would be more impactful.
So what you're saying is that they should add another 4 teams to the playoffs.
To the splits,
yeah.
Yeah, I think that would, yeah. I think
and
they
then,
should.
And then cut the amount of games that each team individually plays.
Could see that. And that's kind of going back to what we were talking about, I think, about a month ago, where we were saying that we felt like there wasn't enough representation for these teams that dropped out after the spring split, like Complexity.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see more teams. And then, like, NFL kind of season with, like, 16 games total between all of them.
And just have one a week?
Something like that. No.
Or two a week? Like, 2 games a week per team?
Yeah, something like that. Or have it be 4 weeks with 4 games. I don't know. Right?
Yeah, I could see that. But I just don't think that there's enough, you know, they're trying to get exposure right now, and I feel like having games on every Thursday and Friday really allows them to get that exposure that they want to get and try to branch out to other venues, I guess you could say.
Well, hey, Riot, you should hire us. We'll figure all this shit out for you. All right? You don't have to lift a finger.
Well, to write the check, you do.
Another thing we could figure out for them is the runes that are set up right now. The whole rune system. Right, guys?
Yeah, the rune system.
Yeah. What do you guys think about the rune system?
I think it sucks.
Millpool and Wally are fairly new to the game in league years, I guess.
Yeah.
They have a few hundred wins under their belts, but they're just starting to kind of figure out runes and what's the best for each champ and...
I mean, I think runes are important. Like, there's certain runes for certain situations, like gold acquisition, damage reduction, and mitigation based on type of damage. But, you know, I got to be honest, just from my experience playing with you, Lobby with not slowly earning my runes and shit, I don't really. I'd like to see a chart or some kind of anything that shows me where a demonstrative difference could be measured through rune allocation.
Well, I mean, it gives you, I don't know.
I mean, I think I remember you saying something similar, to be perfectly honest.
Right, right.
In passing, it's not your shtick, I think.
Yeah, I don't get into the whole rune game. Like, there's some people that are like, oh, I need these runes for this champ. Well, I think I have 5 rune pages, and I use 2 of them for just general kind of stuff. And they're ones that I put a little bit of thought into them, but they help most champs in a lot of different situations. And that's kind of what I roll with.
But, so, I kind of know how Guido plays as well. He does the whole, look at it as a generic overview as much as you can, because when it comes down to it, runes, all that they make up for is your mistakes, or maybe capitalize a little bit on what you did right. And me personally, I have, I think, 4 or 5 runes, rune pages made, just, you know, your typical AP, AD, support, and jungle. So that's 4. You know, just to kind of, like, break things down a little bit. That's about it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think a lot of players use the runes as a crutch, almost. Like, they need these runes, or else they won't do well at the beginning. When a lot of it comes down to mechanics.
It does. I mean, I'm not great or anything, but there's moments when I learned, and I eventually made, either through dumb luck or I actually did well, I made a great play. And I made that great play up against people with way more kills under their belt than me with a half-done rune page. I'm not saying runes aren't helpful, but just from my experience, I don't know what necessarily measurable difference they do add. I mean, I don't really know.
Yeah. Maybe we can get Millpool back in here and he can shed some light on his experience. But
personally, I think runes and masteries overall are aimed more towards your early game. You know, the biggest impact that you're going to see is going to be within the first 5 to 7 minutes. Because after that, what you buy from there on out really overshadows everything else that you've already put in.
Right. You know, that's an excellent, excellent point. It probably, that is when a lot of things tend to make a difference in terms of getting an edge, is really early game.
Yeah, and benefiting, like maximizing the most out of your runes and masteries really comes down to how you're going to play that early game as well. So, and I think that a lot of people use it as a crutch because it's easy to say that they had an edge over me because of their runes and masteries. But realistically, like Guido was saying, is that if your mechanics are there, then it makes up for the fact that you don't have the runes and masteries that are quote unquote a must to have on that champion.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. My rune pages are really simple. I use flat health quints for my AD and my AP carries. These are just the one main ones that I use. I use cooldown blues, armor yellows, and then depending on what role it is, if it's AP, I use magic penetration reds, and if it's AD, I use flat AD reds. And that's pretty much the two ones that I use. I have a jungle one too that has some lifesteal quints, but they've worked well for me, and I can't really complain. I don't have any reasoning really as to why I picked those. I mean, you can kind of guess. You get a little bit extra health at the start so that you can go a little bit harder at them or move in, or maybe save you if you get caught or something. But I don't know. Millpool, have you jumped into the rune sorting at all?
A little bit. Like, you mean making rune pages? One? Yeah. I mean, I still kind of just have one generic rune page that I use for everything. Which is, you know, armor yellows and magic resist blues, and I think hybrid armor pen and magic pen reds. But I just recently made a magic and AP page with just magic pen reds. Okay. Yeah, but for me, it's just like, it's just expensive, I guess, in terms of IP.
And what do you think about the process? Like, is it difficult or?
Yeah, it's more confusing. It is frustrating. Like, you know, I've Googled several like rune page guides in my process of making rune pages. I think it's a little more complicated than it needs to be. Like, my biggest gripe is probably the different tiers of runes. I mean, everyone has just told me just to get tier 3 runes, so I don't really understand why there's 3 different tiers of runes.
Right, and that's
the recommended thing is just to wait until you're 20 or whatever and can buy tier 3 runes.
Some people swear by buying like tier 1 runes and stuff as they're leveling up, which I can kind of see, but I think there's a better way to do it, just in general. And that way, in my opinion, would be to have all the runes scale as you level up. You know, you buy them for the IP that they are at level 30, but they're going to be, when you buy them, they're going to be level 10 runes.
See, but that kind of defeats the purpose of the fact that the level 1 runes are so cheap, because they're 20 IP a piece at level 1. And then when you hit level 2, they're 80 IP. And then when you hit level 3, they jump up to anywhere between, what is it, 360 and Quinter up to 2055, I think, right?
Right.
So, something like that. I mean, right now I've been playing on my Smurf a lot lately with a friend of mine who had account issues, and I've been actually finding it more beneficial to buy as many level 2 runes as I can right now, because when I hit 20 and I can't buy all those cheap runes, that I have a lot already stockpiled that I can add into my new slots as they open up, which actually give me the stats from the runes without actually having to pay for the new ones as they open up. But that's also because I've played before and I know exactly what I'm going to be wanting.
Yeah. I don't know. Plus, once you replace those tier 2 runes, you're never going to see that IP again. You know, you're never going to use them again. You can try and combine them in that bullshit rune combiner.
Yeah, and that too I think is BS, because you should at least be able to combine 5 of the same one to upgrade to that exact same one of the next tier, if that's really how they want to do it.
Right, or sell them for like a smaller amount of IP back.
Yeah, like I spent 80 on one, give me 60 back at least.
What would you guys think if they just removed runes from the game?
I wouldn't care.
Or opened all the runes and just let everybody go buck ape wild shit, like they were masteries, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then, like, what do you spend your IP on? You know, I've seen, like, multiple people on Reddit or wherever who play a ton of games, and they're like, I'm just stockpiling IP at this point. Like, Riot, give us more stuff to spend IP on.
I don't know, man. Shit. Stop playing the game so much.
I think one of the combiner options should be a giant middle finger.
Yeah. And then so what happens?
Says, fuck you, and then you get nothing.
Why would anyone do that?
I don't know. I kind of feel that way when I use it already.
Yeah, I used it to clean up my rune pages, and then I think I just ended up deleting the ones that I ended up getting from the combiner. So, I don't know. If anything, they should probably work on that. Figuring out a way to fix that or get rid of it. Just have us trash them. Who cares about the rune combiner?
I don't think the rune combiner is really worth keeping around.
Yeah.
Every time you get something, it's like something you would never want to buy.
Yeah. If they had like a way where you could combine runes and get a chance to get like a skin or something, that'd be sweet. Everybody would be buying like tier 2 or 5 or 1 runes and combining them. That'd be a nice IP dump.
Well, you know what else might work is if they gave you the option of buying tier 2 or tier 3. Because if I'm just trying something out just because I want to mess around with my runes, I don't want to go drop 5,000 or 6,000 IP, not including quints, to try and make a new rune page just to fuck around with something. But I'd be a little bit more willing to try something out if they had the option for me to go buy everything for like 1,500 IP or 2,000 IP.
Yeah, and then just like rent it for 5 games or something.
Yeah, just to see how it works out and then give you the refund. I mean, they already have that with champions where you buy a champion for, you know, 4,800 IP and you don't like them, you can return them. And I think you're allowed to do 5 every 6 months, 5 refunds or something like that.
Yep, yeah. You hit a ceiling at 5. Although I didn't know what the reset timer was, so that's good to know.
Yeah, it would be cool if you could just demo runes. Like, that's what you guys were getting at, but, and they do that with champions, you know, they have the champ rotation. It would be cool if you could just demo, like, any runes for one game or whatever.
Yeah, they should have more renting options with IP. I mean, if all these people have stockpiles of IP, I mean, why not rent some runes or rent a champ that they're thinking about buying that's not free this week? Yeah. Rent a skin for 2 games?
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
Riot, I'm telling you, hire us.
And they're listening.
We'll get your LCS tournament info figured out. We'll get this whole renting system fixed and implemented tomorrow. I promise you that.
Done and done.
That's a lofty promise.
So, yeah, I don't know. There's ways to fix the runes. Maybe some people don't have any problems. If you don't have a problem with the runes the way they are, let us know somehow. Write us snail mail at 483 West Boulevard Avenue.
Wow.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 48334.
I thought you were actually going to be giving out your address.
That sounds like your address.
It is.
All right. So
one more thing that we should talk about league quickly. I don't even know if we have to. Lucian, it's been another week. Lucian hasn't been released. They've been slowing down the production on champs. You guys remember like 4 months ago, 5 months ago when it was like every week or every 2 weeks on the dot on Tuesday, there was a champ that was coming out.
Yeah, it was happening a lot.
Yeah. And now it's been, who's the last one? Aatrox. And that was what, like 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know what they are doing is that they're focusing, I feel like, a lot more on champions that they already have that need to be reworked as opposed to coming out with new champions.
Yeah, and that's good. But it leads me to the question, like, do you guys care?
It's good stuff.
What about new champs?
Yeah, do you care that they're taking longer to release these champions?
Yeah.
I care.
It's exciting. It's something new, something that you look forward to when champ release comes out.
I care,
just like patch notes.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I can get behind 2 weeks is fine. Great. 3 weeks? All right. 4 weeks? What the fuck, Riot?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the last champions to be released are Aatrox, Lissandra, and Zac. And Zac feels like he was so fucking long ago.
Yeah. Lissandra feels like she was long as fuck ago.
Yeah, because she was right there after Zac, like you said, like 2 weeks. And then even that push between Lissandra and Aatrox was getting a little bit longer, and now they're really stretching it out.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess if they're working on other things and working to balance the game, moving resources around to fix other things.
Well, like, they have separate teams that make champs, that make new champs.
Yeah, I know. They have champion designers, but, I mean, what's the holdup then?
I don't know.
I thought I read that they were not releasing as often so that they could work on other things like remakes. Like Heimerdinger and this Yi one that just came out and the Sejuani one and the Trundle one and shit.
Who's the next person besides Heimer that you guys think is going to be remade? Because realistically, I can't really think of anybody that really needs to be reworked. Maybe Corki?
Yeah, maybe Corki. I don't know.
Oh, man. Olaf, everyone says.
Oh, yeah, really? Olaf needs it.
And maybe Warwick.
Yeah, Warwick is... Actually, I think I read something on Reddit a week ago or 2 weeks ago that Warwick is getting reworked soon.
You think they'll do Zillion?
You heard of Reddit too?
Get out of here, man.
Hey.
Was that Kobayashi?
Yeah.
That was Kobayashi.
Kobe, just hold on. We'll get to you, man. Fuck. So, I don't know. Champions... taking long. All right. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
I think Zillion might get hit.
I could see it. One that will always stand the test of time, though, is going to be Teemo.
Yeah. He's in a good spot. He's in a real good spot.
Yeah.
All right. What do you say? Some general gaming?
Segue that shit.
Hi, I'm Guido. This is a segue.
All right. What do we got this week?
So, is Kobayashi's there?
Yeah, we're going to get to general gaming.
Oh, okay. What is he doing?
He's masturbating.
What?
I know, it's weird, man.
He's quietly in the corner?
Is that what he meant by warming up?
Yeah. He's really warming up. He's going at it.
Oh, I'm so like, excited. Oh, me rub you a long time. I eat hot dogs.
You didn't sound like that when he was in here.
That was just me trying to impersonate him.
Oh. Well, your second impersonation was very different.
So Microsoft is bad at stuff, huh?
Yeah, their marketing is a little disjointed right now.
How so? It mostly has to deal with their Surface.
Well, there was an article in Penny Arcade about how they're marketing their Surface tablets relatively poorly, mainly because it's like a whole bunch of kids breakdancing and shit like that. They seem to lack the ability to convey the merits of why you would own a Surface tablet, as opposed to, they said they did some kind of artsy thing. And the author of the article is the artist, I think, from Penny Arcade, I think. And he was just saying how, well, no, maybe it wasn't. One of the two of the guys, and they're just talking about how they see the advantage of Surface just through their everyday doing their jobs, being able to hook the tablet up to a projector and bam, it's on the screen. Whereas on previous computers, it's been much more difficult. And they took that metaphor and they extended it towards Xbox One and how Microsoft seems to repeatedly be unable to convey the merits of their inventions, but somehow lauding all the lack of benefit or not lauding anything at all.
Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but when I want to buy a product, first thing I want to see is people breakdancing with it.
Bunch of hipsters, you know, tossing shit around.
Yeah.
What was the last thing you bought in which that was the method that they sold you on it?
Harmonica.
Breakdancing with a harmonica?
Yeah, they weren't even playing it. They're breakdancing and head spinning on it and shit.
Do you even like harmonicas?
Nope. I hate music. I hate
harmonicas. Harmonica style dubstep.
The thing before that.
Wait,
was,
you hate breakdancing as well?
Yeah,
is that what you said?
Yep.
But it sells you on stuff.
Yeah, it does. It's my bane.
You know what sells me on stuff? Best Buy. I just walk in there, look at the stuff for a little while, and then walk right back. actually, kind of going with this Microsoft story.
You know what they call Best Buy, right?
What?
Amazon's showroom.
They also call it Breast Buy.
What?
And they call it Best Guy, too.
Who calls it that?
Whoa. You know, guys? Gangnam Style. Am I right?
Are you talking to us or Kobayashi?
Yeah, I think he's talking to Kobayashi in the corner just masturbating. He's sitting there stroking it off, nodding to Guido. Oh, so.
He is. The only way I can break the tension is by like saying internet things from like months ago. So that he kind of feels a little bit of shame.
What? And he keeps calling you salary man while staring you directly in the eye and masturbating.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite awkward.
Yeah. Chill out, Kobayashi.
WC salary man. Oh!
I don't know. I don't know anything about this Surface, to tell you the truth. And that's probably where they fail.
They're actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, after you guys put this article to me, I kind of looked around at them, and they are pretty neat, but I had no idea. I didn't know anything about them or was interested in them at all. And that kind of changed, but still, I don't know. I guess I need more testimonials.
Yeah, and that's what the article was about, just their total failure of like being able to market this thing.
Well, right. It's like, and then they extended it to the Xbox One. Let's cut out the Xbox One really quick. They had a lot of good merits to it. You could play your games anywhere. You could, even though it sounded cumbersome, you could share games with friends. You could walk into a friend's house without having to do anything other than sign in. And since the game's assigned to you, you could play it, download and play it. And there's a few other miscellaneous things that were kind of cool about it. But there was, instead of leading with that, they led with the DRM angle. And they pushed Kinect. And the fact that you could integrate your Xbox with cable television as like the highlights of the console, And granted, that's where their end goal is, to be like the center of your living room, especially with TV. They didn't say anything about games. They led with the DRM, and then they shoved the Kinect down your throat.
Yeah.
And people got fucking pissed. So they ripped all that out, right? Except for the Kinect. And in ripping it out. Oh, sorry. When they ripped it out, it took out the one thing that was good, sharing the game, playing the game somewhere else. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah, it's like there's no gamers on anywhere near that product, you know? No one that is in touch with the community and what they wanted, at least on the marketing side, you know?
Yeah.
Because they just...
There was definitely a disconnect.
They showcased all the things that you could walk up to any one of us and say... We would say that's a bad idea to lead on those things.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he was saying. It's a shitty push. Also, there is a reason why Microsoft did this. All of the major technology firms and media providers, I forget what the term's called, but it's an industry term for cable television. It's called like the first hit or first entry. It's the one device in your living room where a person would plug their cable or whatever form of entertainment they have from the outside into to disseminate it throughout their house. A lot of people, traditionally, it's been a cable box. For others, it's becoming good DivX, your kind of glorified super cable boxes, and then slowly but surely consoles and PCs, with media PCs. What they were trying to do, that's the reason why the Xbox has a HDMI in and a coax in and stuff like that, is because they want to become the filter for your entire entertainment experience. And that was a conscious decision on their part. And that's okay. You know what? You want to slowly take over the living room space. That's your prerogative. They practically did when they got Netflix on Xbox as it is. But what they didn't do is they forgot to change gears and transition that when they started talking to gamers. Because we don't give a fuck. If you want to rule my living room, go ahead. But give me my goddamn games first and tell me why I should want it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really weird. It's still really weird because you can still do that, but I guess the weirdest part was that they talked about it so much. Like if it was more of a side note at the end of like a press conference about games, and they're like, you can also, you know, plug your cable box into it and you can do cool stuff with your cable box now that you couldn't do before. So, you know, that's cool too, but... Like you guys were saying, I mean, they spent so much of their press conference talking about it.
It felt like a shareholders meeting.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
My big thing, too, was that even when you did go looking for stuff after the fact, there was never a definite answer about any of it. They always were all over the place, so it was like it seemed like the marketing people were not in connection with the developers themselves.
Or the executives.
Yeah.
Even the executives were giving mixed messages. In some situations, they were actually shutting down the reporters.
Yeah.
It was horrible. A shitstorm. It was really bad. I don't think they really knew how to address the like all the bad feedback that they got from it. They really, I mean, it was I don't know, it was just so bad. You know, and like the Sony press conference kind of shoved it back in their face, and
it wasn't like a power glove things. Bad either.
Hmm.
It was a bad.
You know who did a good job with marketing, at least in the past week or so, in building interest in their product?
And hype.
EverQuest.
Yeah. I know, they did. Like
they did a really good job.
I've never played EverQuest before, but I'm pretty excited about the next EverQuest.
Yeah, they had their Sony conference. We touched about it last week.
We touched each other.
And
some gay stuff. It's fine.
And it was before they unveiled anything, so we were kind of speculating and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And now we kind of got a few details on what to expect. And do you guys have any first impressions on what they showed for the new EverQuest next?
I'm excited.
I am too.
But not for the reasons I think that is conventionally made known. I at first I was kind of not upset because I think I've been conditioned to like say, where's my class? Where's my level up? Where's my questing? And this is that they literally went out on a limb on this one. I can't believe out of all the companies to actually try something revolutionary, it's going to be Sony with EverQuest. And I guess it's nice, but you know, it's going to be open world, multi-class, multi-function. You learn what you do. Quick travel, running around, parkour type stuff. And then the voxel stuff, being able to craft and manipulate objects within the environment. Also manipulate the environment itself contextually to accomplish goals.
Yeah, I mean, in theory and them explaining it, it sounds great, but it seems like such an undertaking to make right. You know?
Well, with voxels, it's a lot easier. They're basically adapting a tool that's already out there called Voxel Farm, and they're integrating that into the overall engine of the game, which is going to make their lives infinitely easier. And since they're using kind of a cartoony aesthetic, I think they're going to not hit the uncanny valley like they did with the Play-Doh people in EverQuest 2. And they're also taking some of the tools they've been experimenting in EverQuest 2, like the facial capture technology, and moving that into the animation aspect of the characters to make them more lifelike. It seems like they've been working on this in bits and pieces for a while. It should be interesting, but the real big risk is that they're changing the fundamental dynamic of what makes a traditional MMO, which is basically based on a role-playing game model. I mean, there's no reason why we have to have levels and classes and accomplish specific guided ends. And there's a reason why you and I and Millpool and Nasty, we all love Minecraft. Basically taking that kind of ingenuity, self-invention, applying it to a fantasy, massive multiplayer game, literally changing the rules. I don't know if we'll like it or not, or if they can pull it off, but this is exactly what I think the genre needs to stay viable. Otherwise, we're going to go through an endless litany of IPs leveling up until we get bored and then moving on to the next game.
Yeah. I really like this idea. Like I was saying to Guido the other day, the thing that really kept me in WoW for so long wasn't that I always had a daily quest that I could go do or because I had something, you know, that I had to accomplish. It was really just the freedom to be able to go do what I wanted and see the world for what it was and, like, really appreciate the artwork that I was given, you know, by subscribing to this game. And I feel like they're bringing that to the to the consumers now, and they're allowing you to actually partake in that, which I really like.
Yeah, it should be interesting, and I guess you have to take risks to innovate, and hopefully these risks pay off, and we get a fun game to play that sucks us in. Because I'm looking for a game that'll suck me in.
Suck you in?
Yeah, suck me in real hard.
Suck you in hard.
Ain't that right, Kobayashi? Ain't that right, Kobayashi? Yeah, girl, you just go at it.
Is it sucking your dick now?
Wait, by the way, are you constantly pooping still?
Yep. Still okay. Pooping and ejaculating every 40 seconds. I can't sit down without doing that now. Like, go out to dinner with my parents.
Oh, God.
Anytime I sit on the bus,
Do you need like a bucket? How do you sit on the bus? Is there like a tube or?
I have a colostomy bag.
It's like a backpack, like a water mule.
Yep.
Except it's full of feces.
Great. Got it. You guessed it.
I'm glad. I wish I didn't guess it.
So yeah. All right. We got some listener questions and comments. What do you guys say we listen/read those? Yeah. Okay.
That's a good idea, Guido.
All right. So our first one is from Peter Lunch Pretorius on Facebook. And he asks, which divisions are you guys in currently in solo queue? And where did you start?
Is that a recording?
No, that was a written question. What divisions are you guys in on solo queue? Or ranked?
I'll let you guys start.
I'm in division unranked. I haven't played any pit placement matches, and I don't plan to either. So, tell you what, Peter, go fuck yourself. How dare you ask me that question?
How dare you ask that perfectly reasonable question?
I didn't sign up for this. I'm tired of answering all these questions.
But you did sign up for it.
Flipping a table.
No, as much as I'm curious to see where I would stand, I always have friends to play with, and I don't want to not play with my friends so that I can get a ranking, you know? Anytime, I play like maybe two games a night, if that, if I'm around, and I just want to spend that time with my friends playing a fun game. So I don't ever play solo queue, and I don't plan to. And that's why I don't have a ranking. Da, 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 da.
I play a little bit of solo queue. Not ridiculous amount. I played a lot, I guess, when Season 3 first started, just because at the end of Season 2, I just started playing ranked, and I ended up being in bronze before they had all these divisions. And this season I started out at Silver 2, and then after my ranking, then stopped playing and got demoted down to Silver 4, where I'm at like 95 league points right now, hopefully hitting my promotion soon.
Yeah, Nasty's in a different place than the rest of us, where he doesn't have much time to play, and when he does, it's usually when like other people aren't on, because he has school and work and whatnot. So he plays in the afternoon and I don't know, mornings. When no one else is around.
Yeah, I usually play like between 11 and 1, or like right when I get back from class, like around 4. And most of these guys are usually at work until like 6 or so. So that gives me like 2 hours or so, and I'll try to get a ranked game in when I can.
I'd like to think that I'd be Challenger, at least Diamond 1.
Triple Diamond.
Triple Diamond, double bands. Think about it. I don't know. I don't want to speak for Millpool, but I kind of feel he's in the same boat.
Yep. No, I am in Challenger.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Me and Millpool are... Millpool's in Challenger. I'm not.
Millpool, or as I call him, Captain Bronze.
You call me that?
All the time.
Oh.
So, yeah.
I'd probably be in, like, Bronze or Silver.
Yeah.
We did toss out the idea, though, of doing ranked fives, so we'll see if that actually continues on or not.
Yeah, we'll see.
We almost did until we kind of backed out like cowards.
We didn't back out like cowards. You showed up drunk.
Eh, whatever. Same deal.
All right. So we'll do the next one, and that is an audio question. Here we go.
Hi, this is Caitlin, and I just bought Remember Me on the Steam sale and finished it. And despite it being a really unpolished and not great game, I enjoyed it a lot. And so my question is, what is your favorite unpolished and kind of bad game?
Okay. Does anyone have any right off the bat? Because I kind of have mine.
You can start.
I have to think about it.
Mine isn't really a game, and it's a mod for a game.
Yeah, well, that's an easy one.
Yeah. Mine is DayZ. It was so buggy when it came out, or when I was playing it. Like, you had to retry to get onto servers. You would be crawling across, like, a frame of a door and break your leg. Zombies could swat you through walls and stuff. But I'd look past all those things and played hour after hour of it because it was so much fun. I mean, it's generally considered a great mod for a game, but no one can look past those bugs and those faults and just the wonkiness of it. I'd say. So DayZ is my pick of the litter.
I'm actually gonna throw it back old school, which it was a great game, but since I went back and replayed it a couple weeks ago, it wasn't the same, and that was Pokemon on Game Boy. And just seeing, I mean, I wouldn't say that it was unpolished, but going back to the old system really shows how we've advanced, especially going from a handheld to the handhelds now, which are supposed to be emulating what we have on our computers. But it just taken me back nostalgically to, you know, when I first started out and leveling up and catching, you know, my first,
Charizard!
No, well, I always did start out with Charmander.
Charizard!
And then, like, thinking of all the hours that I spent just looking for, you know, certain Pokemon and stuff like that. So it was really pretty cool going back and playing that again.
Cool. Yeah. Whatever.
Okay, I got one, I think.
What's yours?
I have a few favorites. Let me do a contemporary one so people can run out and try it if they want.
We don't have all day.
It's called it's called Drox Operative.
That's yep. It.
Yeah, Drogugit, D-O-X, Operative.
Gugit. Hey, guys.
D-R-O-X, Operative.
If I want to find something on the internet, you know what I do?
What do Gugit? You do?
I Gugit.
Anyway, let me put it this way. Who likes insane mashups of ancient Windows 3.1 games and space?
Cricket?
Everyone does. Basically, you fly a spaceship, right? You run around and kill randomly generated bad guys for loot. And there's like a bunch of planets that act like NPCs, and you just run around and like have adventures in space and blow shit up. And it's really buggy, and it's hilariously simple, but it's addictive and fun. You could really lose hours in it if you're in for some brainless action.
Hmm. Fair enough.
You can customize your ship too.
Millpool, you got one?
Yeah. I don't know. Mine's kind of obscure.
Oh, more obscure than Drox?
Yeah.
Drox Operative.
Oh.
It's this little game called Skyrim. You guys probably haven't heard of it. It's what? Like, it was an indie darling.
What the
kind
fuck's
of.
A Skyrim?
Yeah, I know.
Spy Trim?
No, Skyrim.
What?
Rim job?
It's yeah, it's pretty, I don't know. I mean, it's not very good, I guess. It's pretty unpolished.
No, I think I read an article about that, yeah.
Probably not. It's really obscure, and I'm probably the only one who's played it, except for the person who made it, who's probably retarded, because it's so unpolished, and the world is just so poorly fleshed out. But, you know, there's something... just that I liked it personally.
Well, you heard it here first, folks.
Yeah.
Millpool thinks that Bethesda are re-re's.
I don't even know who that is or what you're talking about. But you could probably download Skyrim for free because it's, I don't know, it's pretty bad. So just Google Skyrim. Download it.
I'll be sure to Google it. All right, let's do the next one. It's from Alexander Nelson Fryer, and he asks, what are the best mids? My best are Ziggs and Kassadin, and a just okay Orianna play. Do you guys have any suggestions of mids that I should pick up? Who's really strong right now? Who should I watch out for when I play Cass, Ziggs, and Orianna? Thanks! Well, thank you, Alexander, for sending in a question.
Yeah, and thanks for being so energetic. Yeah.
God, who are the best mids? It's tough to say. It kind of depends on your playstyle a lot.
Yeah.
If you like to get up in there... And
I like to get up in there.
Yeah, we know Naz.
So. I'll up in there.
Or if you like to long-range poke like you do with the Ziggs.
I like you do with poke. your with your tractor trailer wide penis.
Mm-hmm. That's a long range poke for me. I mean, there's no best mid. Everybody's got a counter. Everybody excels at one thing and fails at another. So you got to kind of take that into account when you're playing.
I would say that your best mid is the person that you enjoy playing the most and feel most comfortable with. Somebody that you can play over and over and over again and not get bored because of the fact that you don't really like them, but you can refine their kit and learn the ins and outs of it.
Right. I mean, right now, if you're somewhat new to the game, your best mid is going to be exactly what Nasty said, something that you're comfortable with and something that you can learn the timers and play often and not get tired of. So, because the more you play them, the better you're going to get. And, I mean, there's no one-trick pony. There's no mid that's going to beat all the other mids, especially with the varying degrees of skill level that people have. So, I mean, it's such a shitty answer. Play the one you're the best at.
I would say that a very useful mid would definitely be Orianna, because she brings a lot to the table with her long range poke, yet she brings a lot of utility to him as well.
Right.
So, and if you have to pick one out of the ones that you said, I would say, you know, try playing a little bit more Orianna and see how you like it. But then again, if you don't enjoy it, don't play it, because that's kind of why you play the game, is to enjoy it.
Right. And Ziggs can be fun, but he's kind of hard to fit in a lot of team comps, and he's really long range pokey, so you gotta know how to poke and know when to poke, and
not when they're bleeding.
What
did Kobayashi think about it?
Kobayashi likes ketchup on his hot dogs.
So. He's sleeping right now.
He's all tucked.
He beat off.
He's tucked.
Nutted and fell asleep.
Man, we're never gonna get him on.
I mean, play what you call.
Who was the other one that he said?
Cassidy. Who's a good solo queue pub stomper if you can get that snowball early or get those first kill or two.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you're playing with a cohesive team, it's hard to fit him, too. You know, he's kind of an assassin.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. If you really want, give TF a try. He's my favorite mid. He's got map presence like crazy. You can gank.
Yeah, even with his nerf, he's still really strong.
Right. All right. And then we'll just play this last one here.
Hey, this is Bombhab. Love you show. Mad Libs are the bomb diggity, and
Wait, let him finish.
These are my favorite. My absolute favorite.
Bombhab, I love that shit.
Literally, he loves that shit.
That shit, literally.
Thanks, Bombhab. We'll probably do Mad Libs again once we figure out how to condense it down a bit
and rein it in.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun though.
It was. I had a great time with it.
So
it's good to see that some other people enjoyed it too.
That's all the voicemails, questions, and everything we have. If you guys want to send one, you can send it on our Facebook. Just send it in a message. That works now, or you can email it to us at justokgamers@gmail.com. And we got some other plugs. Go for it, Nasty.
You can also follow us on Twitter at justokgamers. For those that have been following, send us stuff. We're not afraid to send you guys some stuff back. You know, we all have phones.
Yeah. I'm going on vacation for about a week, but when I come back, I plan to make some videos. I know it's about time. Almost 2 months. So I got to make some videos to keep this goddamn podcast afloat.
What are you talking about?
So stay tuned for those. And thanks for listening, guys. We appreciate it. Our website's just okgamers.com.
Goodbye. Also, one more plug. if we got any lower level players, my Smurf right now is at level 16. You guys can add me. His name's Munchin, M-U-N-C-H-I-N. You can go ahead and add me. I'm on there more often now since my buddy's been dropped down. So if you want to play some games, just hit me up.
Sorry, we're going to have to bump Kobayashi once again.
Oh, he we'll just have creamed him in... all over the corner of your room, though.
Yeah, now I'm going to have to clean up that cum stain. but we'll have him on a future podcast. And you can tell us all about the world of professional eating. Yeah. So tune in to that.
Professional eating penis.
Thanks for listening.